This year's fund drive is over. If you missed supporting our campaign in real time, you're not too late. Donate now at cjsffunddrive.ca or text DONATE to 778-782-2573 and become radio's best friend.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Welcome to Guerrilla Radio, recorded November 13th, 2024. Well, not since Dickens has anything experienced the best and worst of times so extremely as does Canada's Defenders of Israel today. Last week, even as the verdict stripping the prominent Jewish National Fund of its charitable status was reaffirmed after appeal, the Canadian Prime Minister, with a passion bordering on the messianic, led the country in a political, institutional, and media chorus in defense of Maccabi Tel Aviv FC football fans suffering a pogrom as bad as the darkest days experienced in the history of the Jewish people, or words to that effect. Never mind the facts, abundantly available online, revealing Maccabi hooliganism turned loose on the hapless denizens of the Dutch capital. The profoundly unpopular Prime Minister was correct, though in an inversion of reality typical of those leaping to defense of the indefensible Israeli state. What happened in Amsterdam was a return to a dark chapter in that city's history, one where foreigners rampaged its streets in search of identifiable others to target. Equally, the Canada Revenue Agency too was correct in its determination that the JNF is no charity. Eve Engler is a Canadian journalist, author, and activist. He's written 13 books on and about the perfidy of Canada and its foreign policy. His latest, co-authored with Owen Schock, is Canada's Long Fight Against Democracy. Eve Engler in the first half. And a week has passed, and last time I looked, America is still there, just below the 49th. Before consigning the Democratic Party to its richly deserved political ignominy, we'll do something Barack Obama himself swore off and look back to better move forward. Jim Kavanaugh is a former college professor now publishing political and social analysis as The Polemicist on Substack, and as of our last discussion way back in July of 2023, making videos on the same at Rumble. His articles appear on occasion online at the Grenville Post, counterpunch.org, and of course at The Polemicist at Substack, where I found his recent pieces, Debt Ceiling Nonsense and Why I Won't Vote. Jim Kavanaugh and Disabusing the American Voter, Their Misconceptions on Taxes and Democracy in the second half. But first, Eve Engler and Further Reversals for Israel's Crumbling Credibility in Canada. Welcome back to the show, Eve.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always my pleasure. Of course, now, Eve, before getting to the woeful status of the JNF in Canada, you tweeted yesterday about the release by the Trudeau government's IHRA handbook and the team that drafted it for the government. Firstly, Eve, what is the handbook? What is the IHRA handbook?
The IHRA handbook is an attempt to further define what is and isn't anti-Semitism as per the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's initiative, definition of anti-Semitism, which is really principally focused on marginalizing opposition to Israeli apartheid and genocide. And so the handbook is basically Heritage Canada, at the behest of the anti-Semitism envoy, has put out this handbook to kind of give meat to the definition, and it focuses almost entirely on Israel. I think there's like 150 plus mentions of Israel and only two mentions of white supremacy. And what I tweeted out about was the Noah Liu, who yesterday on Twitter mentioned that he was the lead author of the new handbook. And Noah Liu, somebody I've had on my radar now for, I guess it's 7 or 8 years now. And he basically, back in 2017, he created a huge kerfuffle at McGill where he claimed that he was not appointed to the board of the Student Society of McGill University because he was Jewish, and that he was targeted, and there was a sort of campaign against him because he was Jewish. And it led to being mentioned in the House of Commons. It was like international news story. And McGill actually organized a inquiry into this. A former, I think it was head of student services for the McGill administration, launches this initiative. And, you know, McGill administration is a deeply anti-Palestinian administration. And back in 2017, they concluded that there was no evidence whatsoever that there was anti-Semitism. And in fact, that what was really motivating the whole affair was a question about Palestine and specifically a push for boycott, divestment, sanctions resolution at the student union. And so Noah Liu is cited in this formal McGill report, basically saying that he cried anti-Semitism to marginalize, to, you know, demonize Palestine solidarity. And I doubt that there's any other individual in the country that has been equally kind of labeled by a formal university inquiry. And yet that hasn't at all stopped him from being this expert, so-called expert, on the question of what is and what isn't anti-Semitism, and more specifically, crafting a book that Heritage Canada puts out, that or handbook that Heritage Canada puts out, that basically defines Palestine solidarity as anti-Semitism. So it's I think, just indicative of how you can, you know, falsely cry anti-Semitism, be, you know, mentioned in the House of Commons, international story, get shown to have been lying, and then it doesn't impact your career path. In fact, how Noah Liu got in this current position, that he was appointed, and I wrote a story about this in 2022, by Erwin Kotler to be Erwin Kotler's assistant as the special envoy, so-called special envoy to combat anti-Semitism and Holocaust remembrance. In fact, we all know what this envoy is really about. It's an envoy, what was initially an envoy to protect apartheid Israel. Over time, it's become an envoy to promote genocide. And at this point, really, it's an envoy to promote Israel's Holocaust in Gaza. And the handbook is just one more element in that broader effort to protect Israel from all the criticism of all its crimes. And they had a Noah Liu and Erwin Kotler had an op-ed in yesterday's Globe and Mail, sort of announcing the handbook. And it's remarkable to see. I mean, they frame that there's been this huge upsurge in anti-Semitism since October 7th, and they frame that. It's fascinating to see how they frame that. They frame that as like it was sort of like inspired by Hamas's breaking of the cage, versus it being, you know, the criticism of Israel being inspired by, of course, Israel slaughtering tens and tens of thousands of Palestinians. And they refer to the what happened in Amsterdam recently as a pogrom, which is insane. If there's any element that's a pogrom, of course, were state facilitated acts of anti-Semitism and killings and beatings and busting up of shops and stuff that happened in Europe on many occasions. But if there was any, as one actually Jewish Amsterdam anti-Zionist activist pointed out, if there's any element that was a pogrom, it was actually the night before the football match of Maccabi versus Ajax. And the Maccabi fans went on a rampage with basically the support of the Amsterdam police. And they actually caused so much violence that the police and city authorities actually thought about canceling the game. So before there was any beatings of Israeli football ultras, which was the night was after the football match, no one claims differently. Apparently the police actually even detained 10 of these Israeli ultras. Some of the video is out there, of course, of these taxi drivers being their taxis being smashed by these Israeli football hooligans. And so they, you know, in this op-ed in the Globe and Mail, that's the sort of, you know, one of their hooks is the Amsterdam, what they call a pogrom. I mean, it's insane. But it's also, I mean, even from a standpoint of, you know, like Jewish history, it's kind of spitting on those who actually were, you know, victimized in pogroms and stuff. As was, of course, the comments of Elizabeth May connecting it to Kristallnacht. And same thing with BC Premier David Eby. He also engaged in this insane support for genocidal Israeli football hooligans 10,000 kilometers away. Absolutely bizarre incident of, you know, this Canadian politicians siding with these known racist football hooligans 10,000 kilometers away. Totally bizarre incident, but it's all part of this Israel's the victim, and we can, you know, commit a Holocaust in Gaza, we can kill everyone in northern Gaza, we can make pregnancy essentially a death sentence in Gaza, and we're the victims in all of this.
Well, I saw an interesting connection with that rioting, the hooliganism in Amsterdam, in saying that, well, the ICC is in The Hague, and this is partially a demonstration to the Dutch that they can suffer the effects of shock troops in their streets. But Eva, as far as Erwin Kottler goes, I mean, beyond being the Canada's Alan Dershowitz, as he's often referred, you said that he specifically didn't want someone Jewish in the position that Deborah Lyons eventually took. Does that mean that he was precluding Jews from applying? And did Noah Liu have a problem with that? I guess not, eh?
I don't know the backstory. Kottler's never explained why specifically he wanted a non-Jewish person in that position. I'm presuming it has something to do with kind of granting it greater credibility. He clearly initiated the position from the get-go back in 2020. He convinced Trudeau to set up this position, and then he obviously was the first. It was set up for him, and then, you know, initially was sort of just set up as a. Increasingly now they actually have a significant budget. I'm not sure the exact number, but it's a couple $1 million a year. That was boosted, I believe, in March, and when the federal government released its budget, and so it's kind of become increasingly entrenched, and so he's been coordinating. Obviously domestically, but also internationally on this I would say a more sophisticated promotion of apartheid, genocide, and ultimately Holocaust in Gaza by not protecting Israel directly and sort of not defending the obvious crimes it's committing, but trying to basically marginalize, demonize, and criminalize those who are challenging those crimes by putting things out like this recent handbook on definition of anti-Semitism, which government departments are being basically pressed to adopt. And so we know that it's about a year and a half ago, I believe, where Heritage Canada formally adopted the IHRA definition. And so what that means, it hasn't played out yet, and we don't know of an example, at least playing out in practice, but everyone who gets a grant, and I, probably into the hundreds of thousands, or certainly thousands, and almost certainly tens of thousands of Canadians would get some form of Heritage Canada grant, you know, like you run some art festival or music festival, and the government provide some funding for that. They actually have to agree to the IHRA definition, and which says that calling Israel a racist endeavor is counter. So eventually somebody probably will be found to have signed on to this, got government money, and then later on, you know, maybe on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, said, you know, Israel is, you know, Zionism equals racism or something like that. And then presumably how it would play out is, you know, Israel lobby group would find out that this person had gotten a grant and then go to Heritage Canada and you know, force them to give the money back or something like that. But mostly what it does is actually just deters, of course, people from, you know, making strident criticisms of Israeli policy. And so I think this is actually, it's Alan Dershowitz has, you know, kind of become a bit of a farce at this point. Still has influence. But Kottler, I think, is, if you look at Kottler, Kottler is still somebody that, you know, people like Heather McPherson from the NDP or Elizabeth May from the Greens, they still openly associate with Kottler. Yeah, actually, just a couple of days ago, Bob Rae, Canada's ambassador to the UN, was at this Kottler celebration event in Montreal, which also had Hillel Nour, the head of the UN watch there. So we have a Canada's ambassador at an event to celebrate Kottler with this major anti-UN activist, Hillel Nour, which, you know, in and of itself is interesting politically, that it speaks to how Bob Ray is of course, ardent promoter of Israel, and even if it sabotages the UN, which he claims to support. So Kotler is somebody who still has a lot of political capital. He's very well, he's portrayed so stunningly. He gets published in the Globe Mail all the time, and he's portrayed so so positively still in, quite liberal circles. He's far and away the most important. I mean, he's quite old now, so I don't think he's as active as he was a few years ago even, but he's been the most important Zionist activist in Canada over the past 40 years or so.
Well, and Ray was former NDP Premier of Ontario and then crossed over into the Liberal fold federally some years ago. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Eve Engler. Eve's a Canadian journalist, author, and activist. He's written 13 books, 12 at least, on the perfidy of Canada and its foreign policy. His latest, co-authored with Owen Shockey's Canada's Long Fight Against Democracy. I've got it here right in my hand, Eve, and I'm still reading it back and forth. Every time I get depressed when I look at the news. When you talked about David Eby, who is enough to depress us out here in British Columbia, the NDP, leader is fervently behind all things Israel, apparently, and its agents within its own government, even when they commit outrageous acts in the press. But Abby Lewis isn't one of those. I'm looking at a tweet that Abby put out about a week ago saying, quote, "I'm proud of the NDP's rejection of the widely discredited IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. Big yawn to the usual right-wing Zionists sputtering. They sound tired." And then he adds a refresher from the Jewish faculty against IHRA, jewishfaculty.ca. And even so, another tweet I'm looking at is Kenneth Stern, who is credited with the original drafting, not the drafting that Noah Liu would take credit for here in Canada. And he himself says that this is, he's against it. He says it's being weaponized by right-wing Jews. So what are we to expect of this beyond people losing their funding for cultural activities? Is this going to creep into Canadian law, in a criminal law, do you think?
I don't know if it will creep into criminal law. They're clearly trying to do that. I mean, they're trying to get police departments to all adopt it. There's been battles at all kinds of different institutions, universities, different schools, in terms of adopting the definition. And now the handbook is just pushing that process along. I think that, I think it would be, challenged legally. I'm not a lawyer to know how that would play out in terms of free speech rights. It seems to be pretty obvious that Canadians have the right to say Israel was born in ethnic cleansing. I mean, it's really just a statement of fact. And, obviously that would contravene the notion that, or could be viewed as contravening the notion that Israel's a racist endeavor. I mean, the UN in 1975 adopted a resolution saying Zionism equaled racism, and that was on the books for, I think, three decades. So, yeah, I don't know that the formal criminal charges are the danger here. I think the danger is dissuading people. And there's a litany of examples. So on one hand, the pro-Israel forces say, oh, it doesn't stop people from criticizing Israel. And then simultaneously, they say, hey, this person is in violation of the IHRA definition by criticizing Israel. And therefore, that should be, the government has adopted, or the university has adopted this, and this person should be, punished or fired. So it's a tool in the background. And I think that, it's the position of the special envoy to combat anti-Semitism is a tool to criminalize. But where the next stage is, I mean, in terms of where this goes, I don't know exactly, but the Israel lobby has done, I think, a very successful job in reframing support for apartheid and genocide as responding to anti-Jewish, and more specifically, maybe frame it the other way around, that framing criticism of apartheid and genocide as actually engaging in racism. That's a pretty remarkable flipping of the script. And that anti-Semitism stick is one of the important explanations for why we have a government, you know, political culture that enables Israel's horrors. I have to say, with regards to the NDP thing, there's two positive developments. The fact that they are rejecting the handbook, that's a positive development. And that's a lot of fighting by activists for many, many years working on different variations of that. The other part of another example in this is that the Jagmeet Singh, he responded to the Amsterdam football issue with the two sides. You know, I think he should have come out and said, you know, why in the world are Israeli teams playing in the European competition? And he should have supported the movements of kicking Israel out of the European Football Federation and the Israeli teams out of the UEFA competition. I mean, the country's not actually in Europe. But you know, he did two sides it, which was a big step better than what all the other political leaders have done. And so before, in the last, you know, little bit, the NDP has been, you know, willing to come out and criticize what Israel is doing, but has been still consistently gone along with these manufactured anti-Semitism, you know, crises that the Israel lobby has pursued. I'm told, you know, even really recent months, that horrible incident, ridiculous incident at the hospital in Toronto, where there was claim because Spider-Man for Palestine waved a Palestinian flag on a hospital, Mount Sinai, that it's a public hospital, but has you know, Jewish roots to it. They claim that this was a big anti-Semitic incident, even though Spider-Man for Palestine had flown the Palestinian flag and like 10 different institutions across the city as the march went along. And Jagmeet joined in on this faux anti-Semitism kind of like crisis thing. The fact that he is now not doing that is something that's new. That is a, you know, again, they should be going way further. They should be calling on, you know, Israeli football teams to be kicked out of UEFA. But the NDP is at least at a federal level, not at a provincial level, as you see with EB, but at a federal level, is now not willing to, or much less willing to, just join in on these this tool that the pro-apartheid and genocide lobby employs with the anti-Semitism stick.
Well, of course, Canada's not in Europe either. So when it comes to UEFA and soccer, and I don't know how many people in Canada care about soccer, but interestingly, there's another big match slated in France for tomorrow. The Israeli defense minister was going to go, and presumably surrounded by security and Mossad, as was the case in Amsterdam, and all of these crazy-ass fans that are renowned throughout Europe and the world for their racism and so forth. But Mostrich has begged off at the last moment because there's organizations in France trying to get him arrested as a war criminal, and I think he might be worried that that is something that could happen because he decided to give it all a pass. Before we're only got a few minutes left, Eve, and we haven't got to the Jewish National Fund yet. It's losing its charitable status in Canada. This is something that the Brits have been working very hard on. And I see David Miller's got a post saying that Canada has been paralleling the work that's been done in Britain to get the tax status removed from organizations there that help fund the Israeli military. Briefly, what does it mean, Eve, in Canada?
Well, the recent development is that the JNF Canada tried to go to the federal court to overturn the Canada Revenue Agency's revocation of their charitable status. And the court said, nope, we're not doing it. And so the JNF's clock is ticking in terms of how soon they have to dispose of all their assets, which are, you know, tens of millions of dollars. So that's coming up where they've lost their charitable status. They can't provide tax receipts. They're trying to backdoor it with this other registered charity. And we've submitted to the CRA pointing this out and pushing the CRA to either suspend or revoke this other charity's charitable status.
Who has submitted?
The Just Peace Advocates, Karen Rodman, and a few others she's done a whole series of and others have done a whole series of formal complaints probably 15 at least now, of different registered charities in Canada that are violating CRA rules in terms of supporting the Israeli military, in supporting illegal colonies in the West Bank, in supporting racist organizations in Israel, or in supporting municipalities, Israeli municipalities, that all those things contravene current CRA rules. And so probably if you took an expansionist definition of all this, I would guess there's 100 organizations, registered charities, that should have their charitable status revoked. And I should note that the International Court of Justice's ruling or advisory opinion, the UN body trying to fulfill that on October 18th, I believe it was, put out a what states should do. And one of the things they included in that was that basically registered charities in any UN member state that, you know, subsidized by taxpayers, that they should not have anything to do with the occupied West Bank. And we know that dozens of Canadian groups are in one way or another supporting the colonization in the West Bank. So CRA rules already point this direction. International law, as per the International Court of Justice's advisory opinion about what states' responsibilities are vis-a-vis the illegal occupation, now the ICJ opinion explicitly goes after registered charities. And so it's a growing, the case is growing. There's been a lot of activism, a lot of research done on this. And so the JNF revocation alongside the Niemann revocation, which both happened at the same time, I guess it's now 3 months ago, and then the CRA moved and suspended this other group that became a replacement for the Niemann Foundation, which is another Israel-focused charity. I should say there's more than 200 of these Israel-focused charities. They sent $362 million in 2022 to Israel. And so it's a major contribution of to Palestinian dispossession. It's been going on for a long time. The JNF's been around since 1967, since the registered charity began, the formal state-subsidized, and it's existed as an organization in Canada for another 60 years before that. So the JNF revocation is a big step forward. This the federal court refusing to overturn the CRA it was expected in this case, but it confirms that the JNF is basically done, and soon hopefully their assets will have been either fully disposed of or the CRA will commandeer them as per the rules. And it's only one of many. There's tons of work to be done on going after these charities one by one. But then the bigger picture of, I think ultimately we need actually whole, you know, new legislation that says why are Canadians subsidizing charities, you know, hospitals in Israel or symphonies in Israel? This whole project, even the least vile of these charities in terms of supporting, you know, belligerent expansionist Israeli policy, it doesn't even make any sense. Canadian taxpayers shouldn't be subsidizing this. And I should state, there was just a week ago or so, one of the registered charities for a hospital in Israel, you know, it's for hospitals. It's a Canadian charity all focused on Israeli hospital. But their event advertisement in National Post was all about how this Mossad psychologist was going to come and speak in Toronto. And it had like even when it's a hospital, they have like forefront like Mossad officials. And so there's a whole like propaganda element to these charities as well, of course, in terms of, you know, building a pro-Israel, pro-Zionist, anti-Palestinian outlook.
Yeah, well, more outrageous too, considering that the Israeli military is specifically targeting hospitals, has been in Gaza, in the West Bank too, and now, of course, in Lebanon. Eve, we're fast out of time. Under the guise of charity, no tax breaks for war crimes in Palestine, is a report up at justpeaceadvocates.ca. It's a damning report on Canadian charities funding Israeli war crimes against the Palestinian people and these other cultural things as well that have to go. I'm sorry to cut you off there, Eve. Go to Eve's website, eveengler.ca. His book is Canada's Long Fight Against Democracy. And the weekly, do you want to plug the weekly Foreign Policy Hour?
Yeah, every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern time, I do a Canadian Foreign Policy Hour live Zoom, and then it's posted on my YouTube. And it's basically a sort of updates of important developments in Canadian foreign policy every week. And people can register for that on my website, eveengler.com.
EveAngler.com. I think I said CA. EveAngler.com, all one word. Thanks a lot for coming on again, Eve. I'm going to break away, and I'll be joined after the break by Jim Kavanaugh, and we're going to look at the crazy land. Yes, the American elections, and disabusing the voters down there of their misconceptions on democracy and paying taxes, too, one of the pillars of modern life. Thanks again, Eve, for coming on, eh?
Thank you.